I am a woman of no distinction, of little importance. I am a woman of no reputation save that which is bad. You whisper as I pass by and cast judgmental glances, though you don't really take the time to look at me or even get to know me, for to be known is to be loved, and to be loved is to be known, and otherwise what's the point in doing either one of them in the first place? I want to be known. I want someone to look at my face and not just see two eyes, a nose, a mouth, and two ears, but to see all that I am and could be, all my hopes, loves, and fears. But that's too much to hope for, to wish for, or pray for, so I don't, not anymore. Now I keep to myself, and by that I mean the pain that keeps me in my own private jail, the pain that's brought me here at midday to this well. To ask for a drink is no big request, but to ask it of me, a woman unclean, ashamed, used and abused, an outcast, a failure, a disappointment, a sinner. No drink passing from these hands to your lips could ever be refreshing, only condemning, as I'm sure you condemn me now, but you don't. You're a man of no distinction, though of the utmost importance, a man with little reputation, at least so far. You whisper and tell me to my face what all those glances have been about, and you take the time to really look at me, but don't need to get to know me, for to be known is to be loved, and to be loved is to be known. And you know me, you actually know me, all of me and everything about me, every thought inside and hair on top of my head, every hurt stored up, every hope, every dread, my past and my future, all I am and could be. You tell me everything, you tell me about me. And that which is spoken by another would bring hate and condemnation. Coming from you brings love, grace, mercy, hope, and salvation. I've heard of one to come who would save a wretch like me. And here in my presence, you say, I am he. To be known is to be loved, and to be loved is to be known. And I just met you, but I love you. I don't know you, but I want to get to. Let me run back to town. This is way too much for just me. There are others, brothers, sisters, lovers, haters, the good and the bad, sinners and saints, who should hear what you've told me, who should see what you've shown me, who should taste what you gave me, who should feel how you forgave me. For to be known is to be loved, and to be loved is to be known. And they all need this too. We all do need it for our own.
To be known is to be loved, and to be loved is to be known. And otherwise, what's the point of it in the first place? I want to be known. Good morning, I'm Claire Meyer, and I'm the Director of Faith Formation here at Bethany. If you're worshiping with us for the first time or you're a guest, we are so glad that you are here. Can you do me a favor if you're at the end of the pew and pass down those worship pads? In it are our prayer and connect cards. If you'd like more about to learn more about the mission or ministry here at Bethany, you can fill those out, or you can let us know your prayer requests or praises so that we can be praying along with you. We're in the middle of a series called Jaywalking, and we're following Jesus' footsteps from the time he burst onto the scene after his baptism, all the way up into the cross and afterwards. And we're following in Jesus' footsteps so that we can glean what it's like to be like Jesus. So we can learn from Jesus, walk like Jesus, and know what this whole life was all about. And last week and this week, we're zooming in on two particular stories from the Gospel of John. Last week, Pastor John shared with us about Jesus' interactions with Nicodemus. And in that passage, we get one of the most famous lines in the entire Bible. Martin Luther called it the gospel in miniature. It's John 3:16. You may be familiar with it. It says this: "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life." And this verse really sums up the good news, and yet sometimes I'm not sure if we really know what that means, right? For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave because to love is to give. So that everyone, the whole world could believe. Who's included in that? Is anyone excluded? The whole world may believe and not perish, but have eternal life. What's that? What's eternal life? I think the gospel writer, John, gave us this next story to kind of expound and put some flesh on this verse, to tell us this is what this means. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. So we get this story of Jesus and the woman at the well. And we learn two really important things. Who's included and what's this eternal life all about? Well, Jesus meets the woman, and right off, there's some troubles there, right? Because Jesus is a good Jewish man, and Jewish men wouldn't interact with women that weren't a part of their close family circle. You wouldn't talk to them because women were kind of treated like second-class citizens. They didn't have rights to own property. They couldn't even worship in the same space as the men, and so women weren't treated the same. And yet here's Jesus crossing that gender boundary, crossing it and reaching out to this woman and having this great conversation with her. I'm kind of a nerd. If you know me at all, you know that I'm really actually a very big nerd. And one of my nerdy things is to look closely at the scriptures. And I looked at this Nicodemus character, and then I looked at the woman, and I looked and saw how much Nicodemus talked. I counted how many words he had. He had 13% of the conversation, and Jesus had 87. And I kind of get that, because if I was in front of Jesus, I'd just be like, yeah, tell me more. Tell me more. Tell me more, right? I don't think I'd have any words at all. And yet, with the woman, when I counted her, she gets 40% of the conversation. 40%. That doesn't happen. You see, Jesus interacted with her, and she was able to ask her questions. She was able to converse with Jesus in a really full way. That even Nicodemus, who was a man, which was always better in those times, and a leader, he represented the Jewish people to the Roman government. He was a powerful dude. And yet, this woman of no standing, she gets to have this amazing conversation with Jesus. And then there's a second thing that's kind of wrong with her, a second boundary that Jesus has to cross. She's a Samaritan. And this hatred between the Samaritans and the Jews goes back a really long time, and John, the gospel writer, really wants us to know this, so he adds this line, Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Just in case you didn't remember the 700-year trouble between the Samaritans and the Jews, just in case you forgot, they don't get along. This is another boundary that Jesus is crossing, another hurdle. You see, good Jews, when they were traveling from Jerusalem back to Galilee or down the other way, instead of going the direct route through Samaria, they would go around it. And what could have been a 3-day journey turns into a 5-day journey when you travel around it. But not Jesus. Not Jesus. John tells us that Jesus had to go through Samaria. He had to go through Samaria. He had to meet this woman at the well. He had to cross these boundaries. And that makes me wonder, if Jesus is willing to cross these huge boundaries for his time, what kind of boundaries is Jesus willing to cross for me? What's Jesus willing to do to have a relationship with you? So she's a Samaritan and she's a woman. And I think maybe that's what God meant, for God so loved the world that everyone, even people that we'd like to put on the other side, you know, I don't really like people, sad to admit, and I'm in the worst profession for that, right? I mean, I like you guys. I like you guys. But most people, not so much, because we like to draw lines, and we like to put them over there and us over here where it's nice and safe. But Jesus is really good at erasing all those lines, all those boundaries that we like to try and create to separate and sort out people. Jesus erases it and says, God loved the world so that everyone could believe. And everyone could believe, and not just believe, but have eternal life. What could that be like? You see, the woman is coming to the well at noon, and like Becky talked about, you wouldn't go at noon because it would be blazing hot, and the woman would have gone together as a social thing, and she's not able to. She's not able to go there, maybe because of her past, because of sins, because of bad behavior or whatnot, or maybe because she's been pushed out by society. But she can't go with other people go. And I was talking to some other women at the women's retreat last weekend, and I was trying to like get them to tell me what I should talk about. So we were talking about the scripture, and one of the moms said, you know, maybe she just needed a minute. And I thought, what? And then I let that sink in. Maybe she just needed a minute. And I thought, that is the perfect mom perspective. And then I was scrolling through my Facebook feed, and I ran across this picture of fingers underneath the bathroom door. Because you moms know, nothing is private in your lives, right? They just always are there. And I thought, maybe this woman just needed a minute. Maybe she needed 15 to walk the mile to the well and another 15 to walk back. Maybe she didn't care that she had to carry this giant jug of water. Maybe she didn't even need the water. She just needed a moment. I have moments like that all the time. And when I do, what happens is I like to go in my room and put the covers over my head, right? I like to shut out society. I like to shut out the world. I like to shut out the community because I don't want to share my pain. I don't want to share whatever's driving me there. Just go in, close the door, quiet by myself, right? Maybe you have shame or failures or feelings of not being enough that drive you to exclude community, that drive you to close off and shut down. Maybe you just need a minute. But here's the thing about Jesus. Jesus is there waiting for her at the well, waiting for her. And she says, this well is deep, and I hear my pain is deep. And yet Jesus is there waiting to meet her there. And when you closely read it, he doesn't wait there with judgment or condemnation. He doesn't list off all the things she does wrong and then say, oh, you have to change everything or nothing. No, he's there with acceptance, with a willingness to interact and ask questions and receive feedback and converse and really see her. And what her response is at the end, she goes and she reports what this conversation is about, and she said, he told me everything I had ever done. He told me everything I had ever done. And John doesn't give us all of that conversation, but we know from the woman reporting this that this had a huge impact on her. And I wonder, you know, if I had to lay out all my cards of all my messiness, of all my screw-ups, of everything I'd ever done, and have somebody else look at that, I'm pretty sure everybody would be like, oh, no, that's too messy for me. I don't want to get involved in all that. Right? That's our greatest fear, that if we were really known deeply with all of our cards on the table, that no one could love us. And yet, Jesus lays all the cards on the table for this woman, and he loves her anyway. He loves her. And she responds. You know, there's this great verse in there. He's saying that he's going to give her this living water. He offers her this living water, and he says this, that this water that I give will become a spring of water that will gush up into eternal life. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water that will gush up to eternal life. I think this is what the woman needed, right? When we want to close down, shut off, that's the opposite of a spring of water gushing up inside of us. This everlasting life, this eternal life that Jesus is offering, restores us to community, restores our dignity, looks deep inside of us and says, you are loved. You are known and you are loved. And I think that's what the eternal life is all about. She gets to go back to her community. She gets to go and share her story and say, come and see. Come and see. And they do. And that's just strange for the Bible. Like, people don't often respond to prophets saying, come and see. And yet they respond to her in big ways. Come and see. And it's as easy as that. It's as easy as she is loved, and then that spring of eternal life bursts forth in her, and she can't help but share it. And that makes me wonder, Maybe we're to do the same. Maybe we're to cross those boundaries, to cross the things that maybe we're a little hesitant to cross, so that we can show love to others, so that others can be known and loved as much as we are. And maybe that's the way we can follow in Jesus' footsteps today. Let's pray. God, you know us so well. You knit us together in our mother's wombs, and you know all the hairs on our head. You know the good, the bad, and the ugly about us. And God, you look at us and you say, I know you and I love you. And then you call us to go and share that story and share your love with others. God, embolden us to do that. Give us the strength and the courage to cross those boundaries just like you did. God, we pray this all in your name. Amen.